Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
Having casual sex in New York City just got easier. In the famous words of a wise philosopher, one must respect the artistry. And what Beyoncé was doing was art. It's not any of those. The worst thing I can hear in the dining room, you say to me, is these four words. Turn on Fox News. Now I went from fun trolling to why I'm running through the reasons in my head why I hate the world so much. I talk about weed a lot. I'm an abrasive douchebag who sometimes finds himself at odds with people in power.
Dropping plates on your ass, biatch!
Don't you dare be sour!
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom!
Hence my self-loathing. It's called spade a spade. Kid's my age, and he's hanging out he's the type of guy to hang out at an eighth grade prom after party. You know? Trolling for snatch. Okay? And everyone just rolled their eyes, listened to this, like, what an obnoxious asshole this guy is. Yeah, I am an obnoxious asshole. I didn't grow up in Staten Island, okay? I didn't grow up in a place where people drive their parents' cars and, you know, they have their older brothers come down to fight for them and their older cousins. I'm not from there. That's not where I'm from.
If my ass occupies the space that I'm sitting in, my feet also occupy that space. I am a human being, and matter means that only one thing can occupy one space. No two things can occupy one space at the same time. I was in that space at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, whenever they let us in. I was in that space immediately when they let us in. You weren't. Therefore, I was occupying that space. Okay, can everyone just chill out? Everyone just take a chill pill? Instead of tweeting things like, Harriet Tubman should be on the EBT card? Now, I'll admit, that's fucking hilarious, but at the same time, that's fucking racist.
What is the word, people? Welcome back into another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. I am Jay Porks. With me, as always, on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular nobody. Alright. So, have you guys ever seen those truth commercials? Sorry about that as I move the microphone. Have you guys ever seen those truth commercials? Tell you, like, smokers earn less money than non-smokers and whatnot. Well, I saw one today. And it was really weird. It had a tagline of, be the generation that ends smoking. Now, I saw that and I'm like, wow, that's powerful, man. That's powerful to think, like, you could be the generation that puts a stop to it. You could be part of the end of something that's gross and a habit that people have. You can be the beginning of that. Then I thought to myself, well, honestly, I wanted to be the generation to end, like, racism and misogyny and xenophobia and inequality. That's the generation I wanted to be. Be honest, if people want to smoke cigarettes, that's another story for another day. Now, you see, See what you did there? You started listening to my little spiel about the truth commercials, and you thought to yourself, okay, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. You started to normalize it. Don't normalize this. This is not something that can be normalized. This country's in trouble. But first, we got a new appointment to the cabinet. To the Drumpf cabinet. To Mad Dog Mattis. Now let me just say something. There's one Mad Dog, okay? And that's Chris Russo. And you could check him out on MLB Network. He used to host a show with Mike and the Mad Dog here in New York City with Mike Francesa. That's Mad Dog. I don't know who this Mad Dog Mattis is, but I heard two things. I heard his name is... I heard Mad Dog. I thought that was pretty silly. And then they said, you know, he's like this generation. It's always this generation. He's like he's the closest thing to General Patton. Now, for those who don't know, General Patton was an admiral under Dwight Eisenhower. Now, it's cool to admire people and to say, oh, well, he's like General Patton. Yeah, General Patton. General Patton got fired. General Patton lost his job. Patton was taken out of combat in 1943 after two incidents where he had slapped junior enlisted men surfaced and became public. General Eisenhower had General Patton apologize to both men, the others present during the incident, and then his entire command. But then word of the incidents became public in the U.S. and the outcry was severe. Although members of Congress wanted Patton thrown out of the army altogether, Patton was kept in a non-combat roles for years following the incidents. So... the guy you just appointed as the Secretary of Defense is the closest person to somebody who was taken out of combat because he slapped some young boys? I don't need to insert a joke there. I don't need to give you a bit. I don't need to explain it. I don't need to tell you why that's wrong. If you have any common sense, you know that that is entirely incorrect. Don't compare yourself to somebody who lost their position because they were bullied. They were bullying little fucking kids. You know what I mean? General Patton. Well, when Patton is Patton, sounds like Mike Francesa. It sounds like one of those, all right, Mike Francesa. I was talking about Mad Dog. I was talking about Mike Francesa. Mike Francesa is such a big thing here in New York City. On YouTube, if you look up Mike Zorn. Now, they call it Mike Zorn because everyone makes fun of the way Mike Francesa pronounces things. So when he says his show is Mike's On, like Mike is on, but it's like he says Mike Zorn, so they Mike Zorn. Anyway, if you look up Mike Zorn on YouTube, there are videos of people dressed up as Mike Francesa, but as if it was 1940 or whatever. And he's talking about General Patton, like... oh, what is even going on with this world? Cabinet appointments. A couple weeks ago, we did Betsy DeVoe. She flip-flopped on Common Core. But that's what people do. That's what this Trump administration is all about. It's all about flip-flopping. And what about... Remember I was telling... 2 weeks ago, I mentioned... this asshole Trump having meetings with diplomats around, like, foreign leaders. He met with the prime minister or whatever in Japan. His wife said it was a great meeting. And everyone said, but why were you there? Like, there's security briefings that need to be done. I'll say it again. There's security briefings that need to be done before... you go meet world leaders so you can know their customs. You can know if shaking their hand is appropriate. If we're friends with them. I mean, who, you know, what countries not to mention that we're friends with? There are people. There are lives at stake here. It's not just, oh, I'm going to win popular opinion. You need to do this, not because this is like a Democrat thing. You need to do this. This is a president thing. If you're pretending to be the president, by the way, hashtag not my president, Hashtag never my president. But if you're going to play along like you're going to be the president, read the rule book. I'm sure there's a book in the desk in the Oval Office. Ask Obama for it. So Trump had a talk with the president of Taiwan. And I'm going to let the Washington Post explain to you how fucked up that is. President-elect Donald Trump spoke Friday with Taiwan's president, a major departure from decades of U.S. policy in Asia and a breach of diplomatic protocol with ramifications for the incoming president's relations with China. Trump spoke by phone with Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen, Trump's spokeswoman Hope Hicks said. The conversation was first reported by the Financial Times, then the Taipei Times. The call is the first known contact between a U.S. president or president-elect with a Taiwanese leader since the United States broke diplomatic relations with the island in 1979. Say that again. 1979. Like the Smashing Pumpkins song. China considers Taiwan a province. And news of the official outreach by Trump is likely to infuriate the regional military and economic power. A spokeswoman for Taiwan in the United States said she could not immediately confirm that the conversation took place and said she was seeking guidance from Taiwan. The Taipei Times reported ahead of the call Friday that it was arranged. That's a typo, okay. That's a Washington Post typo right there. Friday, that is, was arranged to congratulate Trump on his election victory last month and express hopes of an expanded relationship with the United States. The United States has pursued what it calls a one-China policy since 1972, when then-President Nixon visited China. In 1978, President Jimmy Carter recognized Beijing as the only government of both mainland China and Taiwan, and Washington closed its embassy in Taiwan a year later. All right. The ramifications of what you people have done will be felt forever and ever and ever. At least for the rest of my lifetime. The rest of the world is like, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, really, this isn't like policy disagreement. Well, it is a policy disagreement because it's a policy. But it's not like, oh, Trump wants to raise some taxes on some rich people, on some poor people. And, you know, he wants to suppress the vote. He wants to do all of that. But he also has no regard for human life. Has no regard for any of our allies, any of our friends who are other countries. He doesn't care. He does what he wants. And it's dangerous. And it's scary. It's dangerous and it's scary. And he named a guy named Mad Dog as his Secretary of Defense. What world are we living in? What is this earth? Is this earth? Usually, I, like, have to sit here with a podcast and, you know, Google, you know, what's going on in the news, like, it's every day, it's every second with this guy. He doesn't do things that, you know, just politically piss people off. He does things that are going to have ramifications on the entire world. Dakota Pipeline, moving on. Not moving on, but moving on. So there's a pipeline in Dakota. North Dakota. Is it North Dakota or South Dakota? Let's go to Vox.com and find out. No one should be shocked that Donald Trump endorses the Dakota Pipeline Project, which is valued at $3.8 billion. He's repeatedly said that he's in favor of more fossil fuel infrastructure. And the company behind the pipeline, Energy Transfer Partners, has donated $100,000 to a Trump victory fund before the election in hopes he'd green light it. Ah! Do you people understand? Do you see? Do you see what's happening? All right, they wanted to do this pipeline in Boise, and a bunch of white people were like, you know what? That could be dangerous to our drinking water. And they said, all right, we'll put it through the Native Americans' land. Now, there's Native American tribes, the Sioux tribes. It's S-I-O-U-X. I think it's Sioux. They're being hosed down by military because they're blocking the pipeline because they don't want a pipeline to compromise their water. Because they want to drink clean water. They don't want to move to Flint, Michigan. They want to have their water not be messed with. And people are coming in and they're messing with it. Now, I understand that President Obama should step in and do something about this. But you know what? Anything he does, they're just going to undo. So if he said, stop drilling, they would say, okay, just wait till January 20th and we'll start again. I mean, really? Seriously? This is the world we live in. Where, like, everyone thought that the Clinton Foundation had, like, problems at, what do you call that? Conflicts of interest. Thank you, Thesaurus. You thought Hillary Clinton with the Clinton Foundation had conflicts of interest because she took money from donors. You know what? She didn't take money from the Dakota Pipeline, people. Let's explore another avenue of the sickness that goes on. So, Carrier is a company that was going to move some jobs to Mexico. Let's read how that went down. Because as you know, President-elect, hashtag not my president-elect, hashtag never my president-elect. He was all about on the campaign trail bringing jobs back to America, no matter what cost. So, Carrier played the president-elect. I'm not signing up for your stupid newsletter. Carrier played the president-elect by getting tens of millions of dollars in incentives while still outsourcing 1,100 jobs to Mexico. Carrier's decision to cancel plans to move 1,000 jobs to Mexico was, on Wednesday, painted as a trade-off for planned tax cuts, as one of Donald Trump's economic advisors said he hoped other U.S. businesses would see the deal as a beacon signal of a climate where they can keep more jobs at home. Donald Trump secured a victory after successfully pressuring Carrier, a unit of United Technologies, to change its plan to move 2,100 jobs to Mexico to cut costs. Carrier said it would keep about 1,000 jobs in Indiana after negotiations with Trump representatives, including Vice President-elect Mike Pence, who offered unspecific incentives. When asked whether the deal would set a precedent for companies to demand a tax break in exchange for keeping jobs at home, Anthony Scaramucci, a Trump advisor, said companies should expect a tax break. We have the highest corporate tax rates in the industrialized world. We have to get those corporate tax rates down to a competitive position. I'm hoping that every CEO in America is getting that beacon signal from the new Trump administration. What about the 1,100 jobs that are still going to Mexico? Oh, those are still leaving. The troubling aspect of the bad deal that Trump cut for taxpayers is that his advisor said that they expect every company in America to go after the same kind of deal. The idea that the U.S. has the highest corporate tax rate anywhere in the world is simply not true. While top U.S. corporate tax rate is high, but Republicans have been exaggerating the damage caused by this fact for years. The goal of the Trump administration appears to be a nation where corporations pay no taxes. If corporations aren't paying taxes and the wealthy are getting tax cuts, the tax burden will fall on the shoulders who have the least to pay the most. If corporations around the country follow Carrier's lead, state and local economies around will be damaged if political leaders give in to extortion threats. The bottom line is that Trump and Pence got played by Carrier. The company is still outsourcing more jobs than they are saying, but for giving Trump some good publicity, they are being rewarded with tens of millions of dollars in incentives that Indiana taxpayers are now on the hook for. Trump got played, and even worse, he set a precedent for even worse deals to come. cost us $7 million to keep 1,100 jobs. To keep like 800, it's like 800 jobs. It's 1,000 jobs. It's somewhere between 800 and 1,000 jobs that were saved. Did you hear the sentence where it said, hold on, the goal of the Trump administration appears to be a nation where corporations pay no taxes. Now, I'm all liberal and shit. Like, I'm very for, like, people who are less fortunate. I'm all for, like, the government giving tax breaks to people. Not corporate America, all right? And if it costs $7 million to keep those jobs here, maybe those weren't jobs that we needed. Maybe those aren't jobs that Americans should be focused on. Maybe Americans should be using technology and the stuff we create in America to make new jobs. Like, have you ever seen The Social Network where the two... I mentioned The Social Network a few weeks ago. But the two, the twins, the Winklevoss twins, right? They go to the, like, the dean of Harvard or wherever. It's Harvard? Yeah, they go to the dean of Harvard. They're like, this guy stole our idea. And they say, make up a... And he says, make up a new idea. He's like, make up a new idea. He's like, do you understand that most of the people that come to Harvard think that it's easier to create a job than it is to find a job? That's exactly the truth. It's way easier to create a new job that exists, because everything is getting created every day. It's 2016, even though ideologies of racism and sexism are in the past, we still have technology. Republicans like that, right? Until they shut down the internet on us. Did Donald Trump call the Taiwan president to tell them about, he's sorry about the General Tso's chicken guy that died? I really hope that's not the case. That would be a shame. Like, people have this misconception. People have this strange theory about the American dream. And you know what? Everyone, buckle up. All right, I'm about to tell you about the American dream. You want to know about it? I will tell you about it. Land of opportunity. Everybody, oh, America. You come and you get a job and you have opportunity to earn wages and to work and to raise a family and all that. That's not the American dream. The American dream is not to work. The American dream is to collect the most amount of money you can for doing the least amount of work as possible. That's American, okay? And if you don't think that's American, just take a look at apple pie. Why don't they mince the apples a little more? I don't want chunks of apples. You know what I mean? Seriously. In all seriousness. People, like, I used to be a waiter, okay? I used to be a waiter, and there were nights where I made lots of money. There were nights where I made 500 bucks, you know, but I worked. You leave work and you're tired, your back hurts, you're worn out, you're still stressed out about what you've been dealing with for the last 6-8 hours. You were running around, you get paid $3 an hour. I mean, you got tips, but people look at you like, you know, you're wearing a monkey suit and all this stuff. But I made money. It was a shit job that I made money at. Now, I'm a para for the Department of Education, okay? I don't make nearly... I mean, well, I work more days, but if I was working the 2-3 days I was a waiter, if I did that at school, I wouldn't make nearly as much money as I would on a busy night. But you know what? I don't do work. I sit in class, and I take notes. That's the American dream. The American dream is finding a way to not have to work. Find a way for the government to give you some money. What do you think pensions are? It's like, all right, I'm going to work for this long, but then I'm done. Those are all city jobs. Why would those be the city jobs? Why are those the government jobs if that's not the American dream? All the government jobs, you get, you work a certain amount of time and then that's it. Then you get paid to sit at home. Every American wants to do that. Everyone wants to get paid and everyone wants to sit at home. Now, the people, some people, they're jealous. Some people, they say, oh, this guy's collecting money and I'm not collecting money. Meanwhile, that may or may not be accurate. You don't know that person's situation. You're not that person. This whole look what he's got world that we live in. Oh, I'll have what he's having. It's all how Harry met Sally and Katz's. You can't normalize this behavior. First, this guy is going to spend 4 years undoing everything that President Barack Obama did. Everything. Because that's what the Republicans have been waiting for. Because that's why they hitched their wagon to this guy. Because they don't care about America. They care about hating Obama and hating Democrats. Every time all the Democrats want to, you know, work across the aisle. Republicans are like, I wish all the Democrats would die, you know? Doesn't make any sense. The American dream is to work hard. You tell me who wants to do that. Stop lying to yourself. I know that that's an image you portray for society, you know, to make kids think that life matters. But I got news for you. None of it matters. It's all fake anyway. It's all pretend. This is all a dream in your mind, in your imagination, and you could wake up anytime you want. And I'm woke. Trust me. I'm woke, though. Facts. Crazy. It's insane. It's just insane. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I was gonna talk about the recount conspiracy if it still had legs in a couple of weeks, and it does. We should recount votes 5 times. So here's what happened. Michigan, Pennsylvania, what's the other one? And Wisconsin. Jill Stein, Green Party, loser of the election, along with Gary Johnson and Hillary Clinton, she raised money to try to get a recount going in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. First, they're doing Wisconsin now. First of all, why we would need to raise money to make sure our elections are true and concise and fair? Why we would need to raise money to do that when that should be a right granted to Americans is crazy to me. It's crazy how you have to go to court to get them to recount. It's not a re-vote. It's a recount. If you're somebody who won and you think you won, why do you care about a recount? What do you think can go wrong? Well, President-elect Donald Trump and his allies have filed separate legal challenges in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin in a suddenly robust effort to stop the presidential election recount efforts there. None of the challenges immediately derailed the recounts in those states, but they promised to complicate them with more legal wrangling by Mr. Trump, groups supportive of him, state officials, and Jill Stein, the Green Party presidential candidate. Ms. Stein initiated the recounts at a successful fundraising drive after suggesting that voting machines were susceptible to hacking. On Friday, Mr. Trump filed a lawsuit in Michigan Court of Appeals in an attempt to block the recount there, which had not begun yet. If the Bureau of Elections moves forward with the recount, it will waste the state's scarce resources, create a logistical nightmare for counties across the state, and ensure that Michigan's Electoral College voters will not be counted, the filing said. Michigan's Attorney General filed a separate lawsuit in a bid to halt the recount, saying it put the state's voters at risk of paying millions and potentially losing their voice in the Electoral College process. In his court filing, the Michigan's Attorney General, who is a Republican, who was widely mentioned as a possible candidate for governor in 2018, said this court cannot allow a dilatory and frivolous request for a recount by an aggravated party to silence all Michigan votes for president. In Wisconsin, a lawsuit against the state of elections commissions was filed Thursday in a federal district court by the Great America Pact, the Stop Hillary Pact, and Ronald R. Johnson, a Wisconsin resident. The Stop Hillary Pact. The lawsuit said that the recount could unjustifiably cast doubt on Mr. Trump's victory in that state. The plaintiffs argued that the recount, which began across the state's 72 counties on Thursday morning, should be halted immediately, in part because there was a substantial chance it could not be accurately completed by mid-December. Results must be certified before the Electoral College meets on December 19th. In 2011, a statewide recount took close to a month. Federal judge said he would not halt the recount, but allowed the lawsuit to proceed. Lawyers for Mr. Trump and his allies are also seeking to halt legal proceedings by Ms. Stein to contest the statewide election results in Pennsylvania. Hillary's campaign has participated only lightly, paying for lawyers to be present at recount sites. Still, the recounts have generated excitement among some of her supporters, hoping that the small margins in the three traditionally Democratic states might swing to Ms. Clinton in a recount. But Edward B. Foley, director of the Election Law Project at Ohio State University, said that there was no comparison between the recount and the 2000 Florida impasse between George Bush and Al Gore. Then, he said, it was quite plausible that Gore might prevail in a recount. The chance that these state recounts could reverse the outcome of the 2016 election, Mr. Foley said, was essentially zero. Ms. Stein said in a statement that the challenges of the recounts were to Ms. Stein, in a statement, said the challenges to the recounts were an effort to put party politics above the country. Trump's desperate attempts to silence voter demand for a recount raise a simple question. Why is Donald Trump afraid of these recounts? In Michigan, where the recount is still pending, the Board of State Canvassers on Friday held a formal objection from Mr. Trump and his campaign plans to recount the state's 4.8 million votes. All right. So basically, Trump took a break from his victory tour to file lawsuits to make states stop recounting election results. Like I said before I started reading that, if you won, what are you worried about? First, see, like, here's the sick mind. Before November 8th, Donald Trump and his cronies claimed that the election was rigged and they wouldn't let him win. Okay? That's what happened pre-November 8th. Post-November 8th, now Trump loves the Electoral College. Oh, it's so great. It's such a great system. It's a system that he tweeted about in 2012 calling, quote, disastrous. Oh, the Electoral College, our election system is so great. It's so great. It's big league. It's so great. Republicans love the election now. They didn't hear the word rigged until the recount started. Then we get a Trump tweet that says, I would have won the popular vote too if millions wouldn't have illegally voted. So it's rigged again? Is it rigged or is it not rigged? And if we're going to say the word rigged about our elections a bunch of times, don't you think maybe we should count the votes maybe twice? Maybe have the election 6 months before the inauguration. Let's count those votes 100 times each. It is the most important math in the world that we need to do when it comes to recounts. Like, I keep pausing because, like, I'm waiting for someone to chime in and give me the answer. I just want to know. I just want to know why, if you're so confident that you won, why would a recount be a problem? If I was as confident as Trump is, I'd pay for the recount. Here, take my money. Pay for it. Such a blowhard asshat anyway. Oh, boy. So, like, for instance, they mentioned Gore Bush in 2000. That was different. That was a tie. That was the Electoral College was a, which, by the way, I don't want to get into, like, if the Electoral College is a great thing, if I agree with it, if I don't agree with it, because truthfully, I agree with the Electoral College when my person wins. So I'm not going to, I don't complain when the Democrats win, so I'm not going to complain about the Electoral College now. I will say this. Why is it an even number? If it's an even number, that leaves us always open for a tie. All you need to do is add one Electoral College vote, and we will never end in a tie. It just doesn't make any sense. So Trump wants to stop the recount. Also, all of his cronies, all of the people in his cabinet, are pro-voter suppression. That's another thing. Why would you want people not to vote? I thought you won America over. I mean, that's what he's saying on his victory tour. Who has a tour at... Who campaigns after they've won already? This guy's on the road campaigning. He is a dictator. He likes to be in front of large crowds of hostile people chanting his name and heiling Donald. Our Fuhrer is coming. So, like, why would you want to suppress votes? The only reason you want to suppress votes is because those people are going to vote against you. Now, instead of, if I see, like, Billy Joe right there, whatever, I'm making up a name. If I see George Wilson, whoever, and I say, hey, George, and he says, I'm not voting for you, Jay, and I say, okay. Now, what would be smarter, having a conversation with him to maybe try to get him to vote for me, or killing him and making sure he can't vote? You know what I mean? Suppressing the vote doesn't make people believe in your ideas. If you're an effective leader, you have good ideas that the people are going to latch onto because, not because they're rhetoric, but because they're good ideas. Suppress the vote? There should be no reason votes should be suppressed. As a matter of fact, we should all be texting our social security number and who we vote for to the government every 4 years. Why are we going to polls when we have computers? Everybody has a phone. If you don't have a phone, the government will issue you a phone. Every single person in America is entitled to a cell phone. Why aren't we using them to vote? Oh, well, Jay, you can probably hack that. Yeah, I know. You work on that. You take all those people that are hanging out in schools on election day and you put them in a room to figure out how to have people not hack into cell phone voting. Why don't we do that? Because I read another article that the president is going to be able to send texts to your phone and you can't block them. You kidding me? I'm going to be getting MAGA texts on my phone? I'll cancel my plan. I don't need that shit. I will cancel my phone plan if I'm getting texts from the White House at 3 o'clock in the morning saying Alec Baldwin sucks on Saturday Night Live. Alright. It's coming up on my birthday. We're not in a year, I know. And this isn't a happy birthday for me. But of course, I always... when people want to talk, what do you want for your birthday, Jay? Here's what I want. I want you to Google Bill Hicks and listen to his words because he is truthful. And everybody born on December 16th is a genius. Bill Hicks, me, sharing a birthday. Now, I bring up Bill Hicks because A, I'm going to play some Bill Hicks audio, but B, we were talking flag burning this week. Trump tweeted out, because, you know, he's a 14-year-old girl. Trump tweeted out that anyone who burns a flag should lose citizenship or perhaps go to jail for a year. Now, we've gone over this a million times, but we will go over it again. I'll play the Hicks bit. Well, actually, I don't know if I'm going to play that Bill Hicks bit. So what I'm saying right now is a Bill Hicks line. Nobody goes to war to fight for a piece of cloth. It's not the piece of cloth that you fight about. It's what the cloth represents. And that cloth represents freedom. Now, that freedom is, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, the freedom to burn a piece of cloth. Now, I put that on Facebook, and somebody commented, it's arson. They need to go to jail for arson. I don't have enough hands to do these face palms. I don't have enough hands to do enough face palms. So, I put that on Facebook, and my friend commented, he's like, they should go to jail for arson. Okay. Now, I mean, I can't believe that I actually have to rephrase that flag burning thing. All right. You don't burn anything. You shouldn't burn things. Okay, yeah. Burning things is against the law. You are correct. And if I go in your house and I burn your American flag, I am going to jail. But it's not for burning the flag. It's for burning property that doesn't belong to me and breaking and entering into your home. And trespassing. Arson? People will just say anything. They will say anything. You need to go to jail for arson. What? Of course! I mean, duh! I don't think anyone... I have to say this. I don't think that anyone should burn anything. You should only burn cigarettes unless you want to be the generation that gets rid of smoking. Again, I wanted to be the generation that got rid of misogyny and hate thinking and white supremacy and racism. I wanted to be that generation, but you people would rather be the generation that ends smoking. So, hold up a lighter to the end of your cigarette, to the end of your, you know, marijuana doobie if you want. You could even hold up a flame to the end of a pen that's dried out, you know, that gets the ink flowing a little bit. But you shouldn't burn things. No, that's correct. You shouldn't burn things. Somebody thought that they needed to comment on my Facebook status about burning flags and mention that it's arson. With a screenshot, I'm not lying, a screenshot of the definition of arson from Google. I'm not making this shit up, man. I'm not making it up. Like, the definition of arson. Like, we're having a conversation about politics, adult stuff, but somebody Googled arson and thought that, you know, we weren't gonna know what it meant. Screenshotted the definition. Get the fuck out of here, man. You've gotta be joking me. Alright, don't light anyone's property on fire. Of course, don't light yourself on fire, unless, of course, you're a Trump supporter. Then I suggest you light yourself on fire after you drink an entire container of bleach before you jump off a cliff. I'm sorry, was that too much? Was that too much? I'm sorry, let me go get the definition of arson and put it up on the screen for you. How about I'll give you the definition of white supremacy, and I'll put a picture of Donald Trump up. Because that's what it is. I'll put Donald Trump standing next to Steve Bannon, standing next to Betsy DeVoe. People who wanna take your vote away, suppress your rights, take away public school, take away colored people. I mean, why don't we just go back to segregation? Listen, this is what it's turning into. And don't you dare pretend that that's not happening. And if you want to continue along the lines of Mad Dog and Betsy DeVoe, you know what? I'm not even going to get into the head of the Labor Department being the Carl's Jr. guy. The guy who owns freaking Hardee's, okay? The guy who makes coffee. No, that's Tim Hortons. Hardee's is burgers. Either way, I'm sure it's crappy. You got that guy heading the labor union, labor division, whatever that department is that involves labor. This is a guy who does not support hikes in wages, and he's going to be in charge of hikes in wages, basically, minimum wage and all that stuff. Funny, somebody said that minimum wage wasn't meant to keep people out of poverty. It wasn't. So people are just getting jobs for fun, for play money. If you work a full-time job, you shouldn't be in poverty. Poverty is for people that don't work. Poverty is for people that collect government money and can't do anything else. The minimum wage wasn't meant to keep people off poverty. All right. But we could move on from that because more cabinet appointments happen. It's not like the cabinet appointments stop, okay? The new head of small business. The new head of the Small Business Administration for the White House. Can't believe I'm saying this. Linda McMahon. Linda McMahon of the World Wrestling Entertainment. What? Now, before people say, oh, well, Jay, you know, her and her husband took a small business and they made it the biggest global empire in its business. I'm going to stop you and I'm going to tell you how wrong you actually are, okay? First of all, there was no taking the small business of the WWWF and turning it to the WWF and going national. That's not something that Vince and Linda, that's not something Linda McMahon said, this is a good idea. No, what happened was Vince McMahon's father, Vince McMahon, owner of WWE, his wife is Linda McMahon. Linda McMahon works in the White House now. Okay. Vince McMahon bought the company from his dad, I think, I want to say in the 60s or the 70s. Might be even early 80. Either way, when Vince McMahon Sr. got old, he sold the company to his son. All right, now it's the same thing with the loan from Donald Trump's dad. You know, yeah, he sold it to him, whereas he didn't give it to him, but I'm sure if Vince McMahon wasn't his son, he would have upped the price on him. And it was sold with the agreement. See, like, because the WWF was a Northeast promotion. I can't believe, like, we're stepping into things that I'm informed about. WWF was a Northeast promotion. Territories. Wrestling promotions used to have territories. WWF was in the Northeast. You know, Jim Crockett Promotions, also WCW, that was down south in Florida, in Atlanta. There was, in Dallas, there was the USWA. Was that the USWA? Or was the USWA in Memphis? Either way, there used to be pockets of wrestling. It used to not be you turn on USA Network all across the country and Monday Night Raw is on. It used to be if you live in Carolina, you get Dusty Rhodes' whatever he's booking, Jim Crockett Promotions. If you live in, you know, California, you get this. If you live in Texas, you get the Von Erichs. You used to get the local stuff. When Vince bought the company from his dad told him, listen, all these other promotions, these are my friends. These promoters, we built this together. This is how it works. And Vince said, okay, no problem, I won't fuck them. What did he do? And he fucked them. And he took all their big stars and promised that, you know, and listen, he took all their big stars and he brought them to New York and he made a global empire. Yes, he did. But also, what happened was those billions were made by misclassifying full-time employees as independent contractors. I like wrestling, but these guys work over 300 days a year, and they are not considered full-time employees with benefits or anything. They are independent contractors, and if they get hurt, sorry. Think about this for a second, all right? This is a little known fact. I mean, it's not a big deal, but, you know, maybe if you're not a loser like me and you don't watch wrestling, you don't know this, but, like, alright, so say Monday Night Raw is in New York tonight. Let's just say, for instance. Do you know that WWF tells the wrestlers, alright, this is where we are. Meet you there. They don't say, here's your hotel. They don't say, here's your car. They don't say, here's your plane ticket. They don't do any of that. They say, this is where we are. Meet us there. If you don't make it there, you got heat. So don't tell me that they're savvy business people. Because they're not. Because if Vince McMahon was a savvy business person, he wouldn't be a millionaire. He'd be a billionaire. What he did was he screwed over a bunch of people who his dad promised he wouldn't screw over. That's what he did. And that's how Linda McMahon became a millionaire. Meanwhile, I mean, they were on trial for steroid distribution in the early 90s. And let's pretend that, let's throw out the verdict for a second. We know that there was rampant steroid use going on in the early 90s. In the WWF, look at Lex Luger, look at Hulk Hogan, look at all those guys. And look at Hulk Hogan late 93 when he came back. And then look at Hulk Hogan when he went to WCW in 95. And while that trial was going on, like, they pleaded innocent. It's not like now Linda came out and said, like, oh, you know what? There was a lot of things we did that, you know... We should have been... No, they didn't take any responsibility for it. They blamed it on the independent contractors. Because they don't work here. We hire them for the night. So if you think misclassifying full-time employees as independent contractors is a good way to make money, if you think that's a healthy way to make money, well, you're everything that's wrong with this country right now. She can't even take a stunner. All right. What about, there was a storyline back in 2000, 2001, heading into WrestleMania, where Linda McMahon, kayfabe means in, you know, fake, where Linda McMahon, kayfabe, had a nervous breakdown, right? Then they called Vince, and the camera panned to Vince in the office. He hung up the phone, and he did, like, this evil laugh. Okay, subtle much? And then a couple weeks later, he wheels Linda McMahon, kayfabe, of course, wheels Linda McMahon out onto the stage in a drug-induced coma, like she's awake, but she can't move, and she's in a wheelchair, and had Trish Stratus wheel Linda McMahon out as Vince McMahon, 70-year-old, well, he was 60 at the time, I guess he was 55 at the time, Vince McMahon, old man, while he can make out with Trish Stratus in front of his wife. I know wrestling is fake. But that, my friends, is your new head of Small Business Administration. Now, if you want to say that she took a small business and raised it into a global empire, I mean, you'd be wrong. But if you want to say that, that's not what small business is. Small business is small business. Small business doesn't have, like... The person who owns the convenience store on the corner doesn't want to be Kmart. He doesn't want to be Costco. If he did, he wouldn't open up a small business. He would have gotten in on the ground floor of those businesses and worked his way up until he became in charge. What is going on with society? Where Linda McMahon works in the White House. Now, Vince McMahon, you think Vince McMahon needed more reason to think that he's above the law? Tell you a little story about Vince McMahon. True story. My favorite wrestler, Shawn Michaels, came back in like 2000. I wasn't watching it in 2002. I wasn't watching at the time, but I've seen all the documentation, all the documentaries, and the matches. Shawn Michaels came back and had a one-on-one match with Vince McMahon. He beat Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon said that it was because Shawn Michaels was recently, he got off drugs at this time, and he was born again Christian. So Vince McMahon comes out the next night and cuts a promo and says, it was an act of God that you beat me. So we're going to have a tag team match, me and my son Shane versus you and God. And God. So for weeks, they had vignettes, like little, you know, little videos hyping things. Like Vince McMahon in a church yelling at God, telling God to come, you know, come stop him, calling himself God, challenging God. Shawn walks down to the ring next to a spotlight that is empty representing God. This really happened. Okay. Vince won. Vince McMahon booked himself into a match against God and he went over. Do you think this guy needs to be friends with the president, let alone have his wife work in the White House? Wow. The man went over on God, our Lord and Savior. Is God the Savior? Is Jesus the Savior? I don't know. Too much church this week. It gets confusing. But the good news is, this week, the priest in church was like, Apu Nahasapita Petalan, so I didn't understand a word he was saying, which is good. I'm glad Apu decided to, you know, find Jesus. He's a nice guy. I'm kidding, of course. Linda McMahon works in the White House. It's just, what's next? Is Chris Christie going to be named the chair of the, you know, Healthy Eating Society or something? Is Bill Cosby going to be the new ambassador for women? Bobby Valentine's going to be the ambassador to Japan. Bobby Valentine, the baseball manager. What is going on with society? The other day I got told, first of all, like when I was telling somebody that Trump isn't going to fix the economy, they said, oh, you're wrong. Ugh. I said, listen, there's more reason to vote than your fucking wallet. You know, racism and fascism, that shit, we can't accept it. And this person told me that racism is something we have to deal with every single day. I said, we don't have to deal with it. We can put a stop to it. Me and you and our whole generation could put a stop to it together. I said it last week. Be the generation that ends smoke. I want to be the generation that ended racism. But we couldn't do that. So he says, you know, listen, I'm not going back to the hood. I'm an adult. I've grown up. Now, that sentiment would have been fine if the person that said they weren't going back to the hood didn't sell weed. You sell weed. You are in the hood every single day. Don't tell me you're not going back to the hood and then you do hood things. This country's in trouble. It's in serious jeopardy. And I will say it every single week. Because I cannot allow anybody to think that this is normal. It is not. And don't you dare for a second sit back and think it's funny and meme it and put it in the Christmas clapbacks. Don't do any of that. That's a good title for next week's podcast, by the way. Because I'll probably do War on Christmas. I'll do my Rudolph shtick. I'll probably name that Christmas clapback. Yeah, I like that. All right. It's my birthday week. This is the last podcast you're going to hear before my birthday. It's my birthday. It's my birthday. It's my birthday. And you know on Friday it's my birthday. Come give me a hug if you ain't getting rubbed. All right. So it's my birthday. Friday the 16th is my birthday. Happy birthday to me. It is the end. The end of my 20s. So while we're talking about the end of the world, there's another person that's born on December 16th. Because great minds are born on December 16th. And a great man, a visionary, a pioneer. Well, not a... Well, if people followed in his footsteps, he might be a pioneer. But no one's touching him right now. Bill Hicks, comedian, social critic, satirist, good human being, was a stand-up comedian, and every year in the 16 days leading up to December 16th, the first 16 days of December, I share, well, you're all friends with me on Facebook, so you know, it's Hicksmas, and I share the Bill Hicks videos, because I love you. And I want you to be informed and understand what a visionary this is. in the line in the likes of Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, Richard Pryor. And nowadays it would be like David Cross, Joe Rogan type people. People that just say like it is. Sam Kinison, another one, old school. Outlaw comic scene. Anyway, so I've decided that I'm going to fill the podcast that goes out on my birthday with Bill Hicks stuff. Now, I know I just did an hour on politics, but now we're going to get into some Hicksisms for Hicksmas. Because great men need to be great people in general who are geniuses need to be celebrated. And Bill Hicks doesn't have any national holidays. Not yet. But he should. Now, this first bit I'm going to play is... it's relevant to the times and it's not relevant to the times. See, Bill Hicks died in 1993. So, you know, I go back and I listen to... and I watch a lot of his video... I listen to a lot of his stuff. And I think, wow, you know, that really stood the test of time. And nothing is more standing the test of time than this analogy of who when he's deciding to vote for Bill Clinton or George Bush in 1991 for the 1992 presidential election. So this is Bill Hicks talking about reasons to vote for Clinton over George Bush.
It's not that I disagree with Bush's economic policies or his foreign policies, all right? It's that I believe he's a child of Satan. Here to destroy the planet Earth. Yes, I'm over here. That's where I am. I'm this way. And what bugged me so much about the 11th was sadness, how, you know, apathetic and docile we are now as a mass, is that they make the whole election about money. Everyone seemed to find that snarl as could be. You know what I mean? It's all about money. Your wallet. Bill, you vote for Clinton? Taxes going up. I'm warning you right now. He may say he's not right. Taxes going up. Well, I have news for you, folks. There's other reasons not to vote for Bush than taxes, okay? The reason I didn't vote for him, you ready? Is that Bush, along with Ronald Reagan, presided over an administration who, for 12 years, their policy towards Central America included genocide. Now, see, the reason I didn't vote for him is because he's a mass murderer. See, there's other reasons to vote than your wallet. See, I weighed taxes, mass murder. I thought, you know what? I can pay an extra nickel on gas a gallon just knowing little brown kids aren't being clubbed to death like baby seals. So Pepsi can put a plant in Nicaragua. There's other reasons to vote than your own selfish, fat needs. Okay?
Key phrase, there are more reasons to vote than your fat fucking needs. Okay? Not everything is about you. And that's exactly what happened this year. People started looking, you know, like I was saying a couple weeks ago, you know, people want to tell me about Trump's tax plan and how, oh, it's going to do this and flat tax. And he's a fascist, racist scumbag who grabs women by the vagina and thinks it's okay. There are more reasons to vote for somebody than your own selfish needs. It's not always about you. Again, I am a white person. I am a white male. So I am at an advantage. It's just how it was. I am privileged. I'm not proud of it, but it's nothing I could change. But I'm still, you know, it's not like, oh, well, Trump won. Well, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not Mexican. No, motherfucker, we're all American. We all should be in it with each other. But that's not what this country's about. It's all about, oh, well, you know. How much is gas going to cost? Yeah, trade agreements. Yada, he's a racist. How many times does it have to be like, how many times does fascism and the Hitler comparisons and, you know, how many times does that have to be made before you people start to realize what is actually happening? So I'm going to keep it Bill Hicks here. We've got a little bit here. These are like not the most famous, like, people have probably said, oh, I know Bill Hicks. I've seen, you know, that mandatory marijuana thing he does. But, like, there's some bits that are, like, bootleg and have been underground for years. Like, this one is titled The Irony of Patriotism. Now, the audio might not be that good, but you all have volume, so just bear with me. And if it's not so good, we'll find a better quote and we'll put it up. But just listen to, like, Bill Hicks is having a conversation with his father about the election process and people who can vote and can't vote. And I just want you to listen to this bit from 1992, or 93, or 90, 92 or 93, or 91. Just take a listen. You tell me if I'm crazy. Bill Hicks on the irony of patriotism.
It's unbelievably prevalent. I had a conversation with my dad recently. I'm trying to heal my dad right now. I'm trying to get him to take shrooms with me. I am. You don't know my dad, but you know your dad's. Just imagine what that's like. It's quite a little bizarre, you know, challenge I put up for myself. I'm sure my parents aren't much different than yours. Dad, would you like to come to go eat these fungi that grow on cow turds with me? Just, he can't seem to get a grip on the whole idea. What happens when you take them? Well, your mind completely opens up to the true nature of our existence, which is that we are not bodies, that we are pure, loving spirit created by God, that God is love, and there is nothing but love, and love, being all-encompassing, has no opposite. You are completely forgiven on all things. There's nothing you've ever done that has ever swayed God's pure and unconditional love for you, and you realize that eternity and peace and heaven is our inheritance, and all of us are going to make it there. I'm not interested. Honey, get me another beer. American Gladiators is coming on. So I want to show you what irony is. My dad considers me a very much a cynic and a skeptic. And he... Well, wait a minute. Do I seem that way to you after what I just said? Cynical or skeptical? See, and there's irony right there. What did you just hear? You know what I mean? Didn't I just explain to you my belief and also the experiences I've had about pure and unconditional love? And yet you think I'm cynical or skeptical. I do have a healthy skepticism. I think we all should. But I think if you listen closely enough, you'll find that my message, if I, as a joke blower, could be pompous enough to have one, is that we're all right and it's going to work out. I don't find that cynical at all. It's unbelievable. But this is my point with my dad. He is a staunch fucking, in his mind's eye, patriot of America, and considers me to be some kind of subversive twit, you know. Anyway, I was having a conversation with my dad, and we were talking about a personal intellectual hero of mine, Noam Chomsky, who has spent much of his life going to great lengths to explain and uncover the lies of the American government and their lapdog propaganda machine, the mainstream media, which includes your news services and all the papers. And he's done a very thorough job. I can't get into it. If you're interested, read Noam Chomsky. He'll open. He'll squeegee your third eye for you. But anyway, we're having a conversation about democracy. And my dad actually came out with this statement. Well, the peasant shouldn't be allowed to vote. That's how old my dad is. He still uses the word peasants. But I believe we were talking about certain South American atrocities our government has performed, overthrowing freely elected democracies there in the name of putting in a military junta in order that our corporate needs can be met at the expense of the people's popular vote, which is democracy. So anyway, that was his point. The peasant should be allowed to vote. And then he went on to explain that also includes the poor people of this country, and particularly black poor families, because they are, quote-unquote, too ignorant to know what's going on, quote-unquote. And I wanted to point out, I said, Dad, what you're talking about is not America. that's not democracy. Democracy, I think Thomas Jefferson had a great quote. He said, the only true repository of the powers of the country should be in hands of the people themselves. And if we feel they are not intelligent enough or informed enough to enact their responsibilities with discretion, it is not our job to take that power from them, but to inform them. And that's the way I feel. And so, ironically enough, what I'm trying to point out is my dad, while he thinks himself a patriot, is actually an elitist who thinks the country should be run by a few people, mainly corporate interests, who do run this country, and not by us, which this country was formed of the highest and purest of ideals, that we are all created equal and all men are equal. So, ironically, I'm the true American, and my dad is not. You understand? Yet he did not have enough self-awareness to even understand that, which is why I recommended 5 dried grams of psilocybin mushrooms, because if anything will give you self-motherfucking awareness, and I know you love your beer, but trust me on this, doesn't hold a candle. UFOs? Been on them. Okay? I don't know if Budweiser's ever given you that thrill, but let me tell you, it is quite delightful to meet the diminutive elves of the fifth dimension, which is in which they reside, and they are really there, and they are what a lot of people would consider angels. It's a very beautiful experience, my friend. First class felony.
The irony of patriotism. Got one more for you. I was trying to figure, you know, this is all on YouTube. It's all fair use. I'm not, you know, making any money off this or anything. Just spreading the love, spreading the Bill Hicks word. But this one's for Mike Pence because he's, because he looks like Hank Hill's dad. And because he loves the gay community so much and he appreciates everything they do. So this is one, this is a short bit with Mr. Bill Hicks, genius at work, talking about if gay people should be allowed in the military. Again, this is early 90s, genius from Bill Hicks. Everyone who's born on December 16th is smart.
You never see my attitude in the press, that's what bugs me. You never see my point of view. For instance, gays in the military. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it. Gays want to be in the military. Here's how I feel about it. All right? Anyone dumb enough to want to be in the military should be allowed in. End of fucking story. That should be the only requirement. I don't care how many push-ups you can do. Put on a helmet, go wait in that foxhole. We'll tell you when we need you to kill somebody. You know what I mean? I'm so sick. I've watched these fucking congressional hearings and all these military guys and all the pundits seriously. Oh, the esprit de corps will be affected and we are such a moral... Excuse me, aren't y'all fucking hired killers? Shut up! You are thugs, and when we need you to go blow the fuck out of a nation of little brown people, we'll let you know. Until then, where did the fucking military get all these more? We are the military. Is that a village of children and kids? Where's the neighbors? I don't want any gay people hanging around me while I'm killing kids. I just don't want to see it. Don't tell me this military protects our freedom. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, there ain't no one out there who's a fucking threat to us, okay? They don't exist. Oh, I'm talking now only of countries we don't arm first. All right. If you want to split hairs, you've got a point.
Bill, what about the nations we sell arms to and then go blow the fuck out of them?
Okay, they might be scary for about a day. We give them the old weapons, we use the new ones on them, you know. Fucking Iraq found that out, huh? You have the Scud, we have the Patriot. The Scud times two, you fucks! Just keep selling them the shitty shit, you know. We're fighting the next year, they'll have muskets. America won a war with this. Yeah, 100 years ago! We got new shit now. Fuck. What is that? It's musket repellent. I can kill you by look.
And that is gonna be it today, folks. I'm out of gas. I'm glad I got to share some Bill Hicks with you. I just wish I didn't have to complain about my government every episode of my podcast. But unfortunately, my podcast, it's my podcast, and I'll cry if I want to. So I talk about things that bother me, things that affect me, things that get under my skin. And you know what? It's nothing forced here. I can't get away from it, and it's going to be my job to inform the masses that are listening to this weekly that this is not normal. You can't allow it to be normal, and you have to understand that this man is a fascist, and he's a racist, and he's a misogynist, and I don't care what his tax rate or his tax plan looks like. His tax plan at the death of this country is not a bill I want to pay. All right. I'm going to get up on out of here, but before I do, let me give you a list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business. First of all, there is ConcertConfessions.com. That's where you get all your live music news and reviews for the fans, by the fans. So if you want to get all the Dare Network podcasts, you go to AndyDare.com. You can get the flagship show, The Andy Dare Show. You can get Spin Class with Tyler and Andy. You can get Jesse Unplugged, or you can get the smooth, sultry tones of the J Porks podcast, all at AndyDare.com. Also go to ChristinaRocks.com, hang the DJ, 89xradio.com every Sunday morning, throwing it back on Sunday with the old school alternative, kicking it real live, kicking the hard jams. Of course, one day when we get back to music headlines, they'll be powered by AntiQuiet. AntiQuiet.com is your source for quality. Till next time, folks. While it's still legal, enjoy that wacky weed. And if you don't know who he is, turn on that Warren Zevon. Late.
This has been the J Porks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.